He is opposing or representing a group that opposes the new casino in Lansing. And James, I appreciate your patience. Thanks so much for staying with us for another segment. Now, if I understand right, most casinos are supposed to and are built on lands that are near tribal areas or owned by tribal entities. And in this case, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, for the most part, that's accurate. And just one quick clarification, I'm not an attorney. I'm a spokesperson for the Saginaw Chippewa Tribe in Mount Pleasant and the Nottawaseppe Huron Band of Potawatomi and Battle Creek. And, tribes, tribal casinos do operate on Indian lands, and that's the key in this situation is whether Lansing would be considered Indian lands for the purposes of Indian gaming. There's a lot of legality in that particular question, but it was litigated last year in a very similar case involving the Bay Mills Tribe in the Upper Peninsula, which is the sister tribe to the Sault Ste. Marie Band. They were actually one tribe until 1972 when the Sioux Tribe split off from Bay Mills. Now, this is relevant because what Bay Mills did is it's using the same legal theory that Sault Ste. Marie wants to use in Lansing. Bay Mills opened a casino in Vanderbilt. The federal court, after a lawsuit was filed against that casino, stepped in and shut it down. But even prior to that, the federal government came out and said, that is illegal, that is not Indian lands for the purposes of Indian gaming, and this is an identical legal argument to the one being put forth by the Sioux Tribe and the mayor. What's interesting, though, is that they're just giving you bits and pieces of the plan. You know, they're talking a lot about what the pie-in-the-sky ideas about how wonderful it would be and all the money that would be distributed throughout the community, but they're not really being very specific about exactly how they would do it. And I'll tell you another thing that they're not being real specific about, where's the money coming from to promote this? Because the Sioux Tribe doesn't have that kind of money to be hiring the PR firms that I've seen pushing for this proposal, the architecture renderings that have been splashed all over the news. The Sioux Tribe lost Greektown Casino in bankruptcy. They don't have the kind of money to bring this project anywhere close to reality. And it's not a question of money, really, because it's a question of the law. And the law says that there is no way this is going to happen.
Now, James,
but if there's money behind it, they ought to step up and they ought to reveal who the investors are, because that's something that the community, when they're hearing the pros and cons and both sides of the debate, need to understand who exactly is at the table here.
Do you know who the investors are?
No, I don't. I can tell you this. The Sioux Tribe, for the last 20 years, has looked for off-reservation casinos throughout the state. And one of the areas that they have coveted for many years is Romulus. And last year, they purchased 7 acres of land at the Romulus Pinnacle Racetrack that is now closed. That's owned by a gentleman named Jerry Campbell, who the Sioux Tribe has had some dealings with in the past. But see, this is all part of a bigger, grand scheme of things. Going back to the Bay Mills, which again is a very on-point comparison here, Bay Mills was trying to use this casino in northern Michigan in Vanderbilt as a test case to get casinos in Flint and Port Huron. They came right out and said it. In fact, they admitted it in federal court when that case was litigated. Now, the Sioux Tribe, we all know that they've been involved in Romulus for many years. In fact, they passed a local referendum in support of an Indian casino with the Sioux Tribe in 2003. So we think that this is a stepping stone for the Sioux Tribe to get to Romulus. And, I think the mayor, had he done a little bit more homework on this and just did some cursory research, he would understand there's nothing new, there's nothing novel to all of this, you know, being talked about bringing an Indian casino with a tribe that's 300 miles away. You can go all, you know, Port Huron, Flint, Romulus, Muskegon. This has been floated all over the place for a very long time. None of it's ever come to fruition because the law simply doesn't allow for it.
All right, let's take the law out of this. Let me play devil's advocate in with the next two questions. Number one, is this just sour grapes? It's obvious that the casinos in Mount Pleasant and Battle Creek advertise thousands and thousands of dollars in the mid-Michigan area media market, so they want people from here to come to their casinos. Some may say this is just sour grapes because those two casinos don't want to lose a share of this market.
Well, that's an honest question. The answer to it is that this isn't about economics for us. This is about preserving the integrity of the law in the regulatory system for Indian gaming as it was meant to occur on Indian reservations, because that's what we rely upon for funding the programs and services and the jobs and breaking centuries of poverty that Indian people were afflicted with. People have a misconception about Indian gaming for the tribes. I mean, this is a relatively new phenomenon. You know, 20 years ago, things were very bleak. And it's just been a short period of time that we've been able to use these revenues. And so, you know, the Sioux Tribe has five casinos in the Upper Peninsula. They ought to be able to use those revenues to adequately fund their programs and services. No other tribe in the state has five casinos. So they're in the Indian gaming industry already. And we support what they're doing in the Upper Peninsula. We just can't support such a dramatic move of 300 miles downstate. Where does that stop?
All right, well, James,
who gets to be the final arbiter of the leapfrog?
It could also be said that this is sour grapes, because if the Chippewa tribe had the opportunity to put a casino in Lansing, that they would.
I'm glad you mentioned that. This is the Saginaw Chippewa tribe's aboriginal territory that was ceded by that tribe's ancestors to the United States government in the Treaty of Saginaw, signed in 1807. And that's something that is taken into account by the federal government when they review an application to take land into trust for a casino. So it's not sour grapes. It's about preserving the integrity of the law and not allowing tribes to leapfrog over you into your aboriginal territory simply to open a casino. That's something that members of Congress, many members of Congress, are opposed to, including our Congressman Mike Rogers, as well as all of the largest organizations of tribal groups nationally. And one is the National Indian Gaming Association. That includes all the Indian gaming tribes. They passed a resolution clearly opposed to this type of a move, where you have a tribe going 300 miles away outside of its historic lands into the lands of another tribe just to open a casino. That's wrong.
But James, wasn't that done in Battle Creek and Mount Pleasant before those entities were built? The land was acquired, then called tribal land, and then casinos were built.
No, sir. No, that is not accurate. Those are the homelands of those tribes. Okay, the difference would be if the Battle Creek tribe, I'll give you a good analogy here. It would be as if the Battle Creek tribe said, you know what, Battle Creek's not good enough. We want to go to Detroit. Our casinos, forget Battle Creek. We want to go for the gold medal here. We're going to go downtown Detroit. And that's what they're doing. That's what the Sioux tribe's doing. And keep in mind, again, they already have casinos. They had the Greektown Casino. You know, through poor decision-making and mismanagement, it was forfeited under bankruptcy. So they've had an off-reservation casino that was operated under a state license already. So the track record speaks for itself.
All right, James, as I let you go, what's next? Are there plans to file a lawsuit anytime soon, or are you just waiting to see where this goes?
Well, we're watching this very, very closely. If it does advance and gets to a stage where litigation would be necessary, our groups are prepared to do that, and we work in partnership with two coalition members of ours in Detroit, and that's MGM Grand Detroit and Greektown Casino, who are also very concerned about this issue of off-reservation gaming by tribes 300 miles away trying to get into Romulus and Lansing and Flint and Port Huron. And that's the problem with this. It never stops. If Sault Ste. Marie comes down here, you know, there's many other tribes that have off-reservation casino proposals. There's seven. Lansing is one of seven total off-reservation casino proposals pending throughout the state of Michigan. So there's a lot more at stake than just the Lansing community. This has statewide implications, and this also has national implications.
All right, James. James Nye is the spokesperson who represents the Saginaw Chippewa tribe. Great stuff, James. We'll stay in touch. I appreciate your time, sir.
Okay, Tony. Have a good day.